Good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. Sam, we've had 9 games of Barclays.
It's back.
9 games of the Barclays is done. Initial thoughts, take, what you expected, better, worse. What are we saying? Spurs for...
the league.
You were top for a little while.
No, Sunderland.
Oh, Sunderland was top for a little while. Alphabetical order. Okay, fine. And you, who can begrudge them that, right? Well, we're all sending them down this season.
And Max went, just put us down the Spurs instead, then we'll be ahead.
Lucky. I was like, I like that. Like he's thinking.
What are my thoughts? My thoughts were, did I correctly predict the West Ham thing on our prediction stream last week with the unhappy West Ham fans?
Did you? Okay, did
you? Did I preempt that? Have I cursed Villa, West Ham this season?
Well,
have I doomed them?
They were particularly bad. I remember going into SofaScore and looking at the, and for those of you who haven't got the SofaScore app, it's really good. Like, it's probably one of the quickest ones to get the scores up there. Yeah. And it says this, sis, everything, all the stuff you need for FPL. I'm just waiting for them to do DEFCON.
Sometimes, right? It's actually weirdly quicker than the TV, depending upon how you're getting it. Like when we were in the hotel the other day, I was weirdly getting a SofaScore thing before it happened on the telly. I was like,
I looked at some of the West Ham. They give each player a kind of mark out of 10. I just looked at some of the West Ham scores, and there's quite a lot of orange on there. Fulkrug, was it like a red 5.5? He had a stinker. So I screenshot it. I put on Twitter. I said, West Ham fans, I didn't watch the game. Was it that bad? Horrendous. Terrible. Oh. He's awful. We're bad. We're crap. We're this.
Oh,
I was like,
no.
Blimmin' heck, Hammers. It's just like, Christ almighty. Are they like giving up already, the Hammers?
It's only game week one, Hammers.
Come on, boys. Game week one.
We don't want you crying like
loads
those two fans last week.
Loads of time.
We don't want that.
But we can't take anything away from the Sunderland performance. Let's get this straight. That was very, very good.
It was very good. I also had a... when I was at Fest on Friday night, a West Ham fan came up to me and he said, I'm not happy with you.
Right,
and I thought it was going to be because of the thing on our slides last week when the West Ham fans were crying.
Yes.
But it wasn't. Apparently, TNT on the bridge from Stratford Station over to Stratford have put up a new advert, and it goes the whole length of the bridge, the walkway tunnel.
Okay.
And it's Mickey van der Ven saving the goal in the Europa League final.
Elite. I liked it.
Well, of course. And of course, we've not only have we nicked Kudus off them this summer for next to nothing, but they hate us anyway. So the fact that we've then won a trophy, and it's the walk from the station to the West Ham Stadium, it's just all Spurs. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry about that. He was like, did you do it? I was like, well, no, I'm not responsible for TNT's adverts.
Yeah.
But I do now want to go down there because it is Mickey van der Ven. Massive.
I like it. Kudus, impressive.
Oh, I love
impressive.
Him.
Even more impressive. Have we seen goal of the season already from Mr. Richarlison?
Oh my God. My voice is a little bit odd tonight. And I tell you why. Yeah. It's because I've never shouted so loud in my whole life.
So you'd rested it for 3 months and then you went and screamed your head off at the stadium yesterday.
It was Richarlison's goal, I think, that's done it.
And you said, I didn't see this guy. I saw some highlights match of the day last night, but obviously it wasn't on TV, so I didn't see the build up or anything.
Yeah.
But you were saying that the club had said on social media, dress in white for Thomas Frank's first game.
Yes.
So you said the atmosphere and everything in the stadium was just a really good feel about it. Now listen, Burnley at home, Spurs fans, let's not get ahead of ourselves too much, but it
why
was.
Why do you have to do that?
I'm just saying.
Why,
we just
why do you have
need
to do that?
Because just rein
I didn't do that.
In a little
if
bit.
If you noticed on Friday,
your voice has
it's really good. If you noticed on Friday night when you were throwing away a lead against Bournemouth, I was being so supportive of you. I was encouraging. I celebrated the Gakpo goal with you.
Yeah.
And then when I come home yesterday, and you went, just remember, it's only Burnley.
Listen.
And I was like, what?
I don't think I said that. I think I said, well done. I think I said, Richarlison, what a goal. I think I said...
But then you said Richarlison's not done that consistently, though. So that is 9 home games in a row goals.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Richarlison's low-key incredible.
See what I mean, folks?
I didn't know this, Lee. I thought Richarlison was actually rubbish. But then I looked at the underlying numbers and he's actually brilliant.
You get him in FPL then?
Well, no, but yesterday I was trying to decide who's going on the back of my new black shirt that's coming because I can't get Mickey again. It's
becoming
an obsession.
Oh, you're getting the away shirt? You're getting like is it a third or away shirt?
No, it's the
shirt,
second.
The
it's
one.
The away.
The away, okay.
So I want that one as well.
Not Van der Ven again.
Well, no, it can't be Mickey again. So I'm looking for my next hero to join Mickey in the club. So I was out there
You ain't
there
getting
for...
Richarlison on the show,
No,
are
I'm
you?
Not getting Richarlison. I'm hoping it might be Eze, I'll be honest.
Yeah, he's cheap. EZE and one number.
Yeah, I know. It should be cheap, right? It should be much cheaper than Van der Ven.
Mm.
But low-key Kudus putting his hand up and going, hi, yeah. Sam, we can be friends.
Very nice, very nice. Well, listen, let's get on and say hello to a few people in the chat.
You don't pull your mug without talking about it then, Nate.
I'm getting to it. I'm getting to the mug. I'm getting to Friday night and how good it was. I'm going to get to that because I've got a little slide with a few photos.
Who
as
have
well.
You? I can't wait.
Listen, if this is your first FPL Family live stream, there will be plenty. And by the way, there's loads in, by the way. Normally for this time in the stream, we're sort of building. We've got maybe 100, 150. 506 people in town, by the way. So that just tells you...
To hear me croaking away.
People are here to hear you croaking away after screaming your lungs out at Spurs winning the league at the weekend. But also, that I think genuinely, I enjoyed all the games. I loved the football being back. Friday was like classic bit of Barclays, wasn't it? Liverpool 2-0 up and cruising. Sleepwalk. How many times I say
that? It's your favourite phrase.
How many times I say that last season about Liverpool sleepwalking? However... I think there were some tactical tweaks that Arne Slot got wrong rather than it being a sleepwalky thing. But we'll talk about that in a minute. We've had all the DEFCON stuff going on. We've had, like, I read some absolutely mad stat. Like, on the Liverpool-Bournemouth game, somebody turned to me, George or somebody on our table said, because obviously we're watching it at Fest, right? And somebody turned to me and said, oh, Tavernier is on, like, 17 DEFCONs at half-time. And I'm like, what? I'm like, all the research I've done on Scout, all of the pre-season videos I've watched says to me that one or two defenders might get DEFCONs. And by the way, it'll be Tarkovsky, Murillo and Mikalenkovic and maybe Virgil. Tavernier, 17 DEFCONs.
Yeah, but...
Van Dijk after an hour on like 18. And the stat I read, actually, I need to find it exactly. Somebody will read this on, go on my timeline and find it. I retweeted it about an hour or so ago. And like Virgil had like 15 clearances and like 13 blocks or something in the game. Yeah. And apparently that is a 5-year high for any player in the Premier League for those two metrics. 5 years. Mm. So what a bloody coincidence. In the first ever game week in FPL where we give a shit about any of that, we have a 5-year high from a player. That's mad.
I'll be honest.
What a coincidence.
I actually was expecting high DEFCON numbers for the first few weeks because we see more attacking threat from all teams. No one defends in the opening few weeks of the season. We see it every year. The number of clean sheets is way lower than usual. So I was expecting higher numbers because generally speaking, teams start with more momentum, more gusto, more fight. So therefore more likely to be clearances, blocks, interception, tackles, higher pace games, stuff. So I was expecting the opening sort of 3-4 weeks to be high DEFCON numbers. But this week, I must admit, it's much higher than even I expected. And I spent a lot of time looking at DEFCON.
Yeah.
The Spurs game was a little bit more what I was expecting. The same with the Brentford game. Actually, Brentford and Forest, that was a bit more what I was expecting.
Ryan
one or
Laurie,
two players.
Just low-key, casually blasting through the DEFCON. What?
Exceptional.
Exceptional, yes, exceptional.
Don't know why I couldn't say. It ended up being
And then you get to the Forest game today, Murillo and Mikalenkovic.
Nothing for them.
Kind of nowhere near it. And you're like, and Aina gets the DEFCON. I so haven't got my head around DEFCON yet. And I don't think... I will. I don't know how you guys feel about it. Get in the comments. Let me know. If you're in the chat, let me know how you feel about DEFCON right now. I feel a bit like I still haven't figured it out. I still think it's a bit random. I noticed Bruno Fernandes, by the way, who is in my team, finished on 11 DEFCON in the United game today.
But we have seen it already creep up in other games.
It can change. And I hope it does because, quite frankly, I need a bloody point system.
I don't really understand that. What? You've either made 14 tackles or you've not. Where do you find in this extra recovery from? Where does it suddenly come from?
And the
from?
Thing is, I would also like to know, because it matters now, right? This stuff matters now, right?
Yeah.
Especially when I've had a good crap game week one, right? But it matters. So when I'm getting Bruno Fernandes and hearing he's on 11 DEFCON,
Az took great pleasure in winding you up about, by the way, didn't he?
He did, yeah. I've already seen a few comments in the chat saying Az and Yelena are amazing and they are the power couple. We absolutely agree. We saw him today, Fernando.
We were hanging out today.
They're awesome. He took great delight, Az, today in telling me about Bruno finishing on 11 DEFCON because none of the you three had him and I've got him, obviously, in that game. I didn't think I'd be like this, but of course it's FPL, so of course I am. But I'm almost like now, well, show me the video. Show me. I haven't got time to go and watch 90 minutes worth of game again, but show me the video where he gets the 11 and I want to find out where the 12th one is. And that's where I'm at with it now. And I want to know how the Premier League are collecting this data.
It's Opta.
Okay. Well, how are Opta doing it then? Is it a man going through and ticking off clearances, blocks, interceptions, or is it video analytics? Is it AI doing it?
No, it's been done. They've always done it. They've collected this data for years. It's been in our members area for 10 years now. They've always collected it. It's a process. So they go through game by game. They collect them. I think it's partly
automated. So the guy watching Bruno,
it's automated, but it's the manual process of checking. Yes.
So the person watching Bruno, if he's gone for a wee, he's missed a DEFCON.
No, don't be ridiculous. It's not just one man in a room. There's too much human error here.
No, and it's cost me two FPL points. I don't like it.
Oh, you're such a weasel. That's not the case. It's not one man sitting in a room and going, oh, I fancy going for a wee now. Oh, it doesn't matter if Bruno does anything. Of course it's not.
I need to know more about DEFCON. I need more information about it.
When I was at Spurs, I was really carefully watching what was happening.
Are you looking around the stadium for who's writing down the DEFCON?
No, but what I was doing genuinely is watching Van de Ven for clearances, blocks, interceptions.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, that's exactly what I was watching for.
Yeah.
But in my head, I was thinking that. I was thinking, okay, well, let's see how often he does it. He was the highest defender for Spurs for DEFCON, which is unusual because actually normally he's the lowest. So that was interesting itself. But he did a lot of clearances.
Yeah, and it's the clearances that matter. We said that in some of our previous videos of the C bits of the CBIT. It's the clearances that matter.
I mean, he did, I think, two pretty quick succession as well. Somebody did.
It's definitely a talking point.
Do you think it's good or not?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I do.
But I also don't like that I don't fully understand it yet.
Well, you need to watch more football then, Lee.
No, and I will. We've got 9 games worth of data.
Do you want me to get your DEFCON notebook?
Don't give me a DEFCON notebook, please.
Every time something happens, we could just put a little tally chart.
I don't want to be like a Jules Laurent with his talent, vision and planning.
We should do this. But do you know what I was doing on Friday night? I had the Scout members area open on Friday night while we were watching the game at Fest.
Yeah.
And I had it sorted by DEFCON by Liverpool in the team profile. So I could just see every time a DEFCON point went on, because I wasn't really interested in Bournemouth, didn't have any. So I was focused on my Liverpool assets. Was there any chance of a DEFCON point? I just really like it.
I do like it. I think it's providing us with an extra talking point to talk about. It's giving us, you know, the fact that, you know, no one is saying 8 Nouri based on his data last year is going to smash is going to smash the DEFCONs, right? Yet here we are. If anything, we're all looking at him going, well, he'll invert, won't he? That's not what happened. He actually joined the back three and they inverted from the other side.
Yeah.
And that filled the midfield, allowed Reinders to get forward. He joined Haaland in attack. And we'll talk about him later on, right?
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable, Reinders, right?
Whoever said they like Az, I don't.
But my point about Ryan 8 Nouri is the fact that he didn't overlap or didn't invert means that perhaps he was in less attacking positions to get assists and stuff.
Okay.
But he was in the back three, which means that his CBIT goes up. So, therefore, he's like a DEFCON monster. This guy's therefore a brilliant pick, because however Pep decides to use him, he's good for points.
Yeah, because he got 9 for me this week.
Unreal.
So he got bonus points.
Yeah.
And he picked up 2 DEFCONs. And that was in a game where he didn't attack. So I'm now thinking, great, if next week, maybe not next week because we've got Spurs, if in game week 3 Pep says, right, Rayan, it's your turn now, off you go.
But 8 Nouri isn't experienced in that position like Vardiol is. And I wonder, if Vardiol was fit for this weekend, would 8 Nouri have been benched?
No.
Do you not think?
No, I just think he'd have gone on the attack. He would have gone down the other side.
If it was Pep's... Oh, listen, we've got to talk about this. But if it was Pep's plan to play like the way that he played, and let's face it, it worked, right? I mean,
maybe it wasn't Pep's plan.
It's Pep.
But he knew 2 days before that he wasn't playing Gvardiol. So his plan will have been set with 8 Nouri in that position.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if Vardiol was available and Pep still his tactic was to always invert from the right, then and the left back then forms part of the back three, then Vardiol's better at that than 8 Nouri. More experienced at doing that than 8 Nouri.
There's no way he wasn't going to start 8 Nouri against Wolves. His old team, he knows those players so well. It gives him such an advantage to have him defending against his old team.
I disagree. I think if Vardiol was fit, 8 Nouri wouldn't have played this
weekend.
I think you're just bitter about
the DEFCON points for 8 Nouri.
I'm not. I'm not bitter about them. What I am is interested. Yeah. What I am is interested. And to answer your question, I am in with the DEFCON. I like it. It's good. It's not like an assistant manager change where I hated it. I like it. I just need personally to take the time to understand it. And I think any FPL manager out there that's saying they fully understand DEFCON already, well, fair dues. I don't. I've got to understand it more. And I think we need more data. I think we need more football. And I think by game week 3 and 4, we'll start to see some patterns in DEFCON. But right now, game week 1 felt a little bit random. It felt a little bit random to me. So I do need to get my head around it a bit more. Plus, we had that real outlier of the Van Dijk and Tavernier thing on game week 1. In the very first game where we actually give a toss about DEFCON, Van Dijk gets a 5-year high DEFCON rating. Yeah, mad.
And if you remember, I was saying midweek, like, Papsar got 16, it would have, against PSG. And that would have been, crazy. Like, huge, huge numbers in comparison to last season. So for then two in the Liverpool game to beat that is mad. And actually, it was more than two in the end.
Totally, totally.
Do you know what, Lee? It's 17 minutes past 9 and we've not said hello to anyone yet.
We've got to say hello to people. We've got to say hello. If it's your first live stream, welcome to FPL Family. Welcome. This is your regular Sunday night 9 p.m. live stream. We'll watch all of the football. We've spent the day with Az and Yelena today. We've watched the football all together. Certainly the Man United and the Arsenal game anyway. Yelena wasn't in a great mood after the Chelsea game, I think it's fair to say. Az wasn't in a great mood after the Brighton performance
we
at the
were
weekend
right
Saturday.
Though, darling.
You and I were delighted after Liverpool and Spurs. But let's say hello to a few people. Mark Nash is in. How are we doing? Very nice to see you, Mark. We've got Nick is in. He says, what Lee says makes a lot of sense. Thanks, Nick. Thanks.
Don't tell him it's, that, Nick.
It happens every now and again here on FPL Family.
It
only once or twice a season, but you're here for it. So thank you. Ken and Lightbender's in. Very nice to see you. George is in. Hello, George.
Hello, George.
Very nice to see you. George is also dropped a super chat. Even after everything he did, Sam, on Friday, he's still dropping the super chat. Thank you for the super chat, George. You did need to do that. But he says, evening, Lee and Sam. An absolutely amazing time at Fest. Thank you to everyone from FPL Family Slack who made the evening magical. Thank you, Sam, for kudos and rice points. 70 all out. Woo! 70. What? Oh, because it... Haaland cap, you see?
Yeah. Haaland cap. So just before the deadline, I told George I thought that Rice and Kudus were better picks than the two he had, and he did the transfers.
There it is. And he says, love you both. Love you, mate. It was... Do you know what? It was... let's do the Fest thing then, because Fest... And I've got a little slide. Look, let's do a little slide of which George features. There he is.
There he is. There's George.
Fest was great again on Friday. Well done to Gianni and to Ed for pulling that together. I thought it was fantastic.
Have you put that picture of me drinking that?
Drinking the sludge. I genuinely have no idea what that drink was.
Have you put the other one up where I've got the other coloured one?
Maybe.
Oh my God.
Maybe.
I look like an alcoholic.
Maybe. There's me looking stressed watching the Liverpool game. That was at 2-2, presumably. That was at 2-2.
Yeah, I think
with a half-eaten cake. Listen, Fest was great. Really, really enjoyed it. We're up on stage doing a bit, weren't we, talking about our teams. They had Pennant and Ginnis there. It's always a really, really good
it's
event.
Always
a good event. But what makes it for me is that our community forms its own little community within the Fest community. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So there's a little table. I think Louise and George had got there like super early. I think they were one of the first in. Got an awesome table right in the shade as well, which made a big difference.
Big difference.
Thank you for that, Louise and George, because it was a hot ass day in London, I can tell you. But they got a table in the shade with full view of the stage so we could see what was going on.
And the game later.
The game, great, great view for the game. Could easily get to the bar. Oh, just perfect table. Really, really good. And Steve was there and Claire was there. Who else was there?
Andrew
was there. We had a whole host of
Simon.
You guys from the FPL Family community at the table at Fest. And it was brilliant. And we absolutely have to give out a special shout out for George, because not only did George bring the snacks, I mean, his snack game was absolutely on point.
The best thing about it was how jealous everyone else was of our snacks.
Yes. Oh, there was people trying to get on the FPL Family table just for snacks. And we were like, no. Our snacks.
We only allowed Az in for snacks.
Az did come in for a little snack. That's okay. We'll allow Az to come
in.
He's
like
an
honorary. Oh my God, that was the picture of me with the green drink. Az is allowed. He's a bit of an honorary FPL Family member.
It was the snacks were great. There was crisps and chocolate galore, but he also had
that cake. Look, there it is.
Cake made. There it is. There's the cake. And it's, I think his aunt made it. Got a picture of us on the front. Got the Liverpool and the Spurs scarves around it. That picture does not do it justice. The detail in the cake, there was like his aunt had done like little dots on
the
icing
stitching,
so that it looked like the ball was stitched together. It was honestly brilliant, George. Absolutely brilliant. And we loved seeing you, mate. We loved having everybody together. And as you can see from the picture on the screen right now, sorry, podcasters, but the game itself, when we talk about Liverpool versus Bournemouth in just a bit, but what a perfect game. I mean, not perfect, but what a great game for me to watch with you guys.
Mm.
And I hope you enjoyed watching it with me as well, because at 2-0, I've got my shirt on. I'm at Fest. I've had a few beers. I'm getting a bit like, I'm leaning back in my chair a little bit. And then Semenyo scores.
I mean, you sleptwalked.
And then Semenya scores again.
Yeah.
Arna Slot.
And you were drinking out of your new mug that George got you.
And we got the new mugs that George also got. These mugs. Look at this. Absolutely brilliant. This mug, so mine's obviously a Liverpool one. I've got Maka with the trophy. I've got Salah with the trophy. I've got us lifting the trophy. Squad photo. Brilliant. You've got a Spurs one as well.
Yeah, I got.
Bought you. Look at this.
Look, Mickey van der Ven with the trophy.
Van der Ven with the trophy.
I got
trophy,
the whole winner's thing out around there. And then I got me at the stadium with my winner's picture.
So these are officially now the
FPL family live stream. I have already necked my tea. That's the
have you?
Yeah, I have to drink water now. So you won't see the mug again for the rest of the stream, yeah, which is a bit sad, but look at that thing.
Cheers.
Beauty.
Yeah, cheers, George.
Get
it was
to drink
brilliant
out of Mickey now. That's delightful.
So, Fest, very good. There's the table. Look, there's the table. We had even a couple of honorary members join us. No doubt about it.
If Fiona's here, she came over and just introduced herself, and she was lovely.
There's you drinking the sludge.
The rest of you, the rest of the Patreon community want you to be part of it. Like, you were talked about in the Slack today. They want to find you. There's a Find Fiona campaign going
find
on.
Find Fiona.
Yeah. Bring her in.
Bloody hell. But no, listen, it was really, really good. There's Harry. And we had all the content creators coming along. It was a really, really good day. So thanks to everybody that came to Fest, in particular the FPL family community, because, yeah, really, really good. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Sam, let's get on with some of these games. Now, I do just want to give a little bit of a heads up on the next slide. I don't know what is going on with the bloody FPL website. Stability issues aside, the user experience is not great. So what I
and
was...
And we
use
it a lot on our stream.
I mean, last year, what I would do is go to the FPL website, and you guys that maybe use OBS or know a thing about streaming, you have to grab the screen, right? You have to grab the window, and it displays. And the FPL website looked really good because you could just display it, and I could click it down, and it would come down with all the stats about the game. When we talk game by game, if you were here last season, you know this, right?
We've got a new shiny slide for it to sit inside.
We've got all these new graphics and everything, and it looks really... I mean, this is kind of... I was going to say we're FPL Harry levels. We're not, aren't we? But, you know, we aspire to be FPL Harry levels here with some of these graphics. And yet, Sam, the FPL website... this is perfect for the podcast.
It used to be centralised as well, didn't it? It was nice centralised.
And I don't know whether I'm using the wrong browser or something, right? I don't know. But look how crap this looks. This website.
I might have to.
People insane.
I think it's going to come to a point where I might have to actually make our own slide for it.
It's not good, is it?
I don't really want to have to do that. It's going to take me forever to make a slide with 10
It's not even in the centre, and it's like they're not even on. It's absolute crap. I'm gonna and because I was setting this up in a little bit of a hurry tonight, I will have a look in some other browsers. I will see if I can zoom in a bit and fix it, but based on our experiences of the site, and I don't want to bash them too much because
we love it,
we love them and we love the game and we don't want to bash it too much, but listen, that's not good enough. FPL, come on, get your act together. Anyway, let's talk about there we go. Look, so it still does it look a bit, but it just looks a bit crap, doesn't it?
It's also big now.
It just looks a bit crap. Anyway, guys, I apologise. If you listen to the podcast,
they don't care.
But the YouTubers, I apologise for the crap.
It actually looks all right like that.
It's kind of okay like that.
It was when it was big fixture list. I actually don't think that looked bad.
Yeah, that's kind of okay.
Yeah,
anyway,
fine.
Liverpool 4, Bournemouth 2, the game that kicked us off for the season on Friday night. I, as usual, have a lot of opinions. So let's come to you first.
Okay, I'll give my opinion.
Go on.
Within about 25 minutes, I was thinking, I think I've picked the wrong Liverpool assets. But then...
25 minutes?
Yeah.
We hadn't scored after 25 minutes, but Hugo was looking all right,
Hugo was looking all right, yeah. And I was thinking, oh, maybe I should have gone there. Gakpo was looking better than Wirtz.
So even after 25 minutes, your feeling about Wirtz was a little bit like, he's a playmaker dropping deep,
No, I was just looking at the game and I was thinking, right. I'm not... It wasn't necessarily a Wirtz, like...
comment, necessarily.
No, it was more of a... I've spent a lot of money on Liverpool. These two cheaper ones actually seem to be
doing all right. Yeah.
Particularly Ekotike, I was yet again very impressed by him.
I love him already. I think he looks really good.
Yeah.
He's given me like, Liverpool fans, tell me what you think in the comments. He's given me kind of low-key Torres vibes. The way that he kind of moves on the pitch and his kind of languid style, but can his acceleration is so good and he's good with both feet. He's low-key kind of giving me Torres vibes a little bit.
He low-key looks like Trent. If Trent dyed his hair blonde...
Talking about...
Right. I'm telling you, if you did a screen cut and put Ekotike's hair on Trent, they look the same.
Can we have some analysis, please, Sam?
They look the same. I was watching him and I was like, you look like Trent. Anyway. I was glad I didn't invest in the defence.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
Okay.
Well, two reasons. One, oh my goodness, you're annoyed by that 59th minute sub.
59th minute sub is annoying. Yeah.
For Kerkez and Frimpong.
And the Frimpong one, by the way, they're saying it's precautionary. He was feeling his hamstring a little bit. So keep an eye on that one.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on that one.
But, you know, 15 seconds later, he goes off, he gets the clean sheet and you're happy. So that you'll be low-key very annoyed about that. But I was watching the defence, obviously, because I'd gone off of the Liverpool defence. And actually, I very nearly went back to Frimpong. I was so indecisive, wasn't I, on Friday. I wasn't really sure what to do.
Yeah.
But I just didn't feel... The ball was always there. The on-ball was always there for Bournemouth. And they managed to exploit it. Now, over the coming weeks, with Newcastle, who... We'll talk about them in a minute. But had they actually had a number nine playing, I think they would have scored against Aston Villa in their game.
Oh, I don't know. I was impressed with the pace of the front three at Newcastle. I think that'd give us issues next week.
I was too. But what I mean is, I think if they had Isak playing as Isak was last season, I think they score.
Okay.
I think it was just that they didn't have that clinical striker in the nine spot.
Yeah, all right.
But so I think that they'll give you trouble, and I think Arsenal will give you trouble the week after. So I don't see many clean sheets, and I think those in-balls are always there, and there's a vulnerability about that Liverpool defence. Now, Wirtz, I watched carefully. I really like him a lot.
Mm.
I just can't decide yet. So last week I sat here and I said, I like him as an FPL asset because he's here, there and everywhere, and he's doing this and he's doing that, and he's likely to be involved. In the Friday night one, I was like, you're not really involved where I want you to be today. You're more...
We won't appreciate him in FPL like Liverpool fans appreciate him on the pitch.
Well, I think that's very well said.
He's class. Mm. I've watched him like three times. I'm like, what a baller.
Yeah, he's really good.
What he does in short... And I've said this already on the other streams. What he does in small spaces, what he does between the lines... I haven't seen a player do that at Anfield for a very long time. In fact, I can't think of a player that plays it as well as he's done.
Yeah.
That's what I've seen so far. He makes things happen. And I said, I don't know whether I was using this analogy with maybe the patrons at Fest or with you, I don't know. But I said something like, I feel like he's the conductor of the orchestra, but it's the other guys that play the music, right? It's the Gakpos and the Ekita... When I said that, that landed quite well, I thought. So tell me in the chat whether you think that's a good analogy or not. But he's the orchestra. It's the Gakpos. It's the Ekitikes. It's the Salahs that are going to get the goals and the assists and the FPL points.
Maybe.
He is the orchestrator in chief. He is the enabler for all of that. Now, do I think he's a bad FPL asset? No. And do I think you should stick with him? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But the way that he played at the weekend... You know, was I surprised to see, you know, Ekitike and Gakpo getting the goals and Wirtz not? No, that's why I went with Gakpo over Wirtz.
Mm, I mean, I think the thing for me is that I felt quite uneasy about Liverpool anyway because of the Isak links and stuff like that and how it might impact you moving forward. But I wanted to double up at least on Liverpool given the opening day fixture and everything else. And Wirtz felt like the right one. What I like about him is at his price point, if I decide actually that's the wrong decision, it is very easy to move elsewhere. It's very easy to save some money and go to somebody else.
With regards to the defence, but by the way, so my view on the game was we saw all the reasons in this game why Liverpool will win the league this season, and we saw all the reasons why Liverpool won't win the league this season, right? So we attacked with flair. I thought we were really good. I thought we were clinical. Chiesa's finished is opportunistic. I was so pleased for him as well because he's just so happy to be at the club. And I do genuinely think there is a player there in Chiesa. We've got to bring out
the Chiesa from a couple of seasons ago.
Of course he has. Yeah, of course he has. But we've got to find that player. That player can come back. It'll be like signing a new player for us this season. Be like Ewan Richarlison. If Frank can get that out of Richie, if Arne Slot can get that out of Chiesa, it'll be like signing a new player.
Yes.
Anyway, defensively... Yes, I agree. 59th minute substitutions. We don't like them in FPL. It's unfortunate. Someone called the general because he's got two in the first game week. Yeah. Right? However...
Well, he's got one today as well.
However, we were a bit suspect at the back. I think over the course of the whole of last season, we got caught out twice. We conceded twice from the counter-attack. They had this stat on Match of the Day. We've conceded twice from the counter-attack already this season in one game.
Yeah.
And take nothing away from Semenya because both goals, particularly the second one, was absolutely brilliant.
He was very impressive.
Now, I expect, and I've watched this a lot in the last season, when Gravenberch comes back, that will not happen. Last season, his ability to sniff out danger on counter-attacks when teams are counter-attacking and be in the right positions is absolutely key. Now, Chat, tell me when he's back. I think it's game week 3 for Arsenal. Yeah, I might have got that wrong.
He had the Community Shield this one and next.
I think. Okay. So I think he's back for game week 3. So we've got one more week to do without Gravenberch. I would not put any money on a Liverpool clean sheet next week, even if Isak doesn't play for Newcastle. He's not gonna play, right? So I would expect us to concede. But because we looked all over the place, even when we weren't in transitions and Bournemouth were counter-attacking, we still looked all over the place. Mm. And when Robbo come on, and I noticed on Match of the Day, Shearer was giving Kerkez a load of grief for losing Semenyo for that goal. Kerkez had just been subbed off, by the way. It was Robertson that got done by Kerkez, but got done by Semenyo. Because Semenyo's warm, his muscles are there, he's in full pace, and Robbo's just come on and he's old and he ain't got the legs anymore, oh, right? So Semenyo's Andy completely Robertson. Done it. He's completely done it, like, yeah, the way he pronounced his name. So, listen, it's not a panic sell if you've got a Liverpool defender. It's not a panic sell, but you do need to be patient until Gravenberch comes back. And if you can't be patient, then sell. Because the game that he comes back in is Arsenal. Now, we could not keep a clean sheet against Arsenal, of course. And then from game week 4, I expect Gravenberch is back. And I do think that we will improve defensively massively when he arrives. Gakpo over Verts, I think that's what I went with at the beginning of the season. Could it go the other way in game weeks 2 and 3? Yeah, of course. Verts is a class player. He's an absolute class player. But the player I do want to talk about is Hugo Ekitike. Because he looks proper.
My concern, though, Lee, and part of the reason why...
But he's expensive.
Yeah, that is one reason. Mm. No, but I don't know if that's one reason I didn't go with him, to be honest. Because if I had gone with him, I wouldn't have gone with Verts. And that's a million, you know, you're saving a million then. Mm. But I think for me, the thing that really put me off Ekitike was my fears about Isak. Because I don't...
Well, deal with that when Isak gets there.
No,
you know
I understand that. But I think the problem is that there's no real, like...
By the way, he looks class. Is Isak a guaranteed starter in the 9?
Oh, wow. Surely.
The way that Hugo started this season, does Isak just come straight in given he's had no pre-season?
Well, that's a whole other conversation. And maybe he doesn't given he's had no pre-season. Mm. But I think the point is that I, going into game week 1, I was worried enough about... And this is a comment about me and my management style more than it is about anyone else. Because there were plenty of people at Fest, including Steve... Steve captained Ekitike. He was living his best life. And that, you know, that's brilliant, right? But for me and my management style, I get into game week 1 feeling like I want to be cautious, but with a couple of differentials.
Okay.
And when I looked at the Liverpool team and I thought, right, well, I could go for Ekitike, but what I don't want to do is get game week 1 locked in, and then we get halfway through next week and we hear a here we go. Because if we hear a here we go, then I'm panicking.
It's not looking thinking, likely, though, is it?
Well,
at the moment.
I don't know, Lee.
They might sign Visser, but they've got to do more than that.
I agree. But I also think that for me, that was just that. That's why I didn't go there. Mm. Now, whether that's the right decision or the wrong decision, right now it's the wrong decision based on what we saw on Friday
one
night. But I'm still... I think as we get further through the transfer window and we get closer to September and the closing of the window... I'll feel maybe differently about Ekitike. He was brilliant again.
Yeah.
I was impressed with him in the Community Shield.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was really impressed by him on Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about Semenyo, though, and Bournemouth, because...
Fixtures are great now.
Yeah, and not many of us went with them in game week 1 because of this fixture. So if any of you out there went Semenyo for the start of the season, I mean, fair dues. But the fixtures now for Bournemouth, let's have a look at the fixture ticker, the Fantasy Football Scout sponsored fixture ticker. Yeah, Wolves at home up next, who have just been humbled by City. Spurs away, difficult fixture, no doubt about it. Brighton, Newcastle, and then Leeds. So it looks all right for Bournemouth now in the short to medium term. So, I mean, Semenyo's just started like a house on fire.
Yeah.
Could you go to him?
I mean, you certainly can. I think the interesting thing for me is that Bournemouth, for me, I was put off by two things. One was the fixture and the fact that I was heavily going to invest in Liverpool.
Yeah.
And the second thing that put me off is the changes that we've seen over the course of the summer. And I felt
defensively,
like...
Defensively, yes.
I also felt like I hadn't really seen enough of Bournemouth over the season. Like, there was doubts over Kluivert's ability to play. There's the Dango move that's been... You know, so you've had that. You've had the four missing from the defensive five that they originally had. All of that played into my thinking when it came to Bournemouth that said, You've got a game against Liverpool. You can watch, you can see, you can choose to invest for game week 2, 3, 4 when the fixtures remain kind for Bournemouth, for the Cherries. So
yeah.
I don't regret my decision not to go for anybody. I think the obvious pick at Bournemouth, if you are going for somebody, even prior to game week 1's performance, was Semenyo.
Mm.
He's that little bit more expensive this year, though. And that's another factor that plays in, isn't it? When you're looking at how to invest, there's been a lot of really great performances this weekend from some of the 6.5s as well. So interesting. He's on my radar for sure.
Very good. All right. A lot of the chat saying that Gravenberg is back for game week 2. I didn't know that. I thought it was 3. So I'll take that. We need him back as soon as possible on the basis of how easily we got done on the counter-attack.
Well, I thought it was 2 matches and the Community Shield was 1.
Yeah, well, there we go.
Yeah, makes sense.
There we go. Yeah, there we go. Let's talk about... I want to move to Chelsea from today because we're talking there about Bournemouth. And in my head, I was thinking, okay, well, Semenyo is the obvious pick. But what about Evan Nilsson? And the reason I mention Evan Nilsson and the reason I want to go to this game is that the two most popular 7.5 forwards, I had João Pedro going into this game. You had Jean-Philippe Mateta. Neither of them getting any points out of this. In fact, I think Mateta even picked up a booking, right? That was the only thing that he did. But even that was more than what João Pedro did, which was a square root of nothing.
I thought he might get sent off at one point.
What did we make of this game? I mean, I
was bored.
Well, I said on Ohana podcast, and for those of you that are following us on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/FPL family. Quick plug for this. All the links in the description below. You haven't even got to pledge us any money. Just go to Patreon. Just follow us on there. You haven't even got to spend any money. Just follow us and you'll get access as a free member to our Ohana podcast every Thursday. And I said on that podcast last Thursday that maybe we're just overhyping Chelsea a little bit. And I reeled off a list of opponents that they've played in the Conference League and then in the Club World Cup. Now, don't get me wrong, 2 very good final performances against Real Betis and against PSG.
Yeah, good teams.
They are good teams, right? PSG, good team. That is an outlier, right? but if you read the rest of the list of the teams, there ain't any teams in there, and you arguably could put Betis in this category as well, that are better than Palace, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And they're all, wow, we're world champions, we've won this trophy, that trophy. You ain't played anybody that would get in the top 10 in the Premier League, except PSG. So don't come at me with all this, like, Club World Cup. So we've gone the whole summer, Chelsea getting hyped. I've fallen for it because I've gone with Palmer and João Pedro in my team. Now, I'm lucky I've got away with it that Mateta's not got anything. But even Strand Larsson looked better this weekend than João Pedro did.
He was dangerous, actually.
Fulkrug, not so much. We'll talk about him later. But Strand Larsson looked better than João Pedro. So... why have I done it? Why have I fallen? Why have So why have I gone and looked at Chelsea being all like, we're world champions?
No.
Bugger off.
That's
no one cares
about
those
trophies. That's not why I think you've really done it.
I've done it for ownership.
Exactly
I've
why you've done
it,
it. Yeah, that's exactly 100%. Why you've done it. And I think, you know, I sat here and I wasn't convinced. I've got Palmer.
Mm.
And I thought that Palmer was back because of his performance against PSG.
He ain't scored an open play goal since January, you know.
No, I know.
Chiesa's got more open play goals than him in the last 6 months.
And Richarlison.
Richarlison's got more bicycle kicks than any other player in the last week.
Richarlison scored goal of the season. Might as well stop now.
I love the stats. You can do the stats however you want, can't you? Richarlison.
So is Chip Turkey. He's got more as well. He's only just arrived. Only played
anyway,
like 20
minutes. Anyway, we do Spurs
minutes.
In a minute. Come on.
I'll talk about
Chelsea.
Man City
then. Why are we falling into
because
the trap? Kingdom FC,
ownership.
By the way, I get it, right? He's going, it's one game, Lee. Calm down. I 100% get it.
And also, Lee, let's also not forget that they got West Ham on Friday.
And they got
night.
West Ham on Friday. And West Ham were absolute crap. Not taking out João Pedro or Palmer. Don't get me wrong. But if I have to take a price drop on Palmer this week, I'll be bloody pissed off.
I don't think it'll be Palmer that you'll take
not
a price
Palmer,
drop on.
Not Palmer, on the other guy.
João Pedro.
Yeah,
Palmer's not going to price drop you. João Pedro, I don't think will either, because people, most sane people will look at it and go, West Ham on Friday night.
You're assuming
did
that.
You see how bad West Ham were? And that's how a lot of people will look at it. There will be some that have got no patience and just go, oh, I want. But to be honest, there wasn't, apart from Ekitike, there wasn't really a forward that, and Haaland, there wasn't really a forward that stood out and went, pick me, do you know? So
no,
I think that's
no.
part of the issue is Richardson. That... well, yeah, but you know, no one's going to go for a Charleston ahead of game against Man City, are they? Particularly with Solanke back. Like, they're not. So the point I'm making is the forward line were pretty... they were pretty
the chat has just gone, Chris Wood.
Oh, yeah, well, let's not talk about Chris Wood too much.
We're just pretending that didn't happen with Chris Wood today, aren't we? My God.
No, we'll get to Chris Wood and Nottingham Forest in a minute, and we'll call out Az on that. So we'll just leave that. We'll just leave that till we get there.
But
generally speaking, the forward line weren't particularly brilliant. So yes, there might be some people that go, I'd rather go across and get Chris Wood, but haven't they got Palace next? And we've seen that Palace defensively can be quite solid. So,
but Sam, come on, please. This is Palmer and João Pedro. They didn't even feature in this game. It's not like they were really good. And I'm sitting there going, oh, I've missed that on a João Pedro hole there because he was really good. No, he was shite, and so was Palmer. And now I'm going into the second game week, and I've got two problems in my team straight away.
I can't have this. You can't say they're problems. They're gonna play West Ham, who got smashed 3-0 by Sunderland.
I don't know. And also, I understand the rules. But that SA goal, that free kick, that's a goal. Please.
So this frustrated me more than anything else.
Because this is bollocks, isn't it?
So Eze scores, he's leaving parting gift for Palace before he comes and becomes...
Comes over to the right side
of London. So he scores...
This is never going to happen, that transfer, by the way, because Palace want 80 million and Daniel Levy wants to spend £2.50. You're never going to get him. He won't put his hand in his pocket.
What should we bet?
I know that Eze wants to go. That you want to sign him, and I know that you've agreed personal terms.
What should we bet?
Levy still needs to spend some money. I'm not betting anything.
Right. If he comes, you have to buy me a box of Gillian. And if he doesn't, I'll buy you a box of peppermint tea.
Peppermint tea?
Yeah, you like that. Or do you want to buy a chocolate?
I don't want to bet on anything.
Yeah, because you're wrong.
I think SA and Kudus in the same team could be pretty electric, to be honest with you. I think it'd be a great signing.
Feeding Richarlison?
Just means that...
The pigeon will be... For the podcast, I did a little pigeon.
Get back on track. Chelsea are crap. We've all been trapped.
No, my point is you're not going to change it. I'm annoyed about that goal.
I'm not ahead of West Ham. No.
I'm annoyed about that goal because I had... going to talk about Brentford as well in a minute. I don't want to talk about Brentford. I hate Brentford.
Bloody Sanchez owners with six or seven points.
Bloody Sanchez is so annoying because I stuck with Sells and I struggled with Sanchez and
weasels.
I don't really like it.
Who had Sanchez?
Honestly so jammy. And then Yelena arrived and went, I've got Sanchez. I was like, bloody leave.
First thing she said. Showed up, hi, Yels, how are you?
I've got Sanchez. Leave, get out. You're not welcome in our house, leave. And then she comes in and goes, do you need your vlog with me? No, I don't want to vlog with you if you've got Sanchez.
Get off.
Anyway, where were we? I'm annoyed by the Chelsea defence because obviously they keep a clean sheet, but I think Eze's a bit unlucky. I kind of like what Gaye did. I know it's against the Royals, but it is what it is.
He was stronger than Caicedo. Caicedo's a bit of a wimp and Gaye just pushed him out of the way. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but he's not allowed within a metre of it, is he? Apparently, which is ridiculous. I mean, I've never seen that blown up for before, but
didn't even talk about the blatant handball after 30 minutes in the Liverpool game. But listen, we're not here to discuss
VAR. You're not bitter about that, are you?
We're not here to discuss VAR.
The point is, Lee, you're not going to take out João Pedro ahead of West Ham, so stop moaning. You might get some points then.
On to the next game then. All right. Wolves 0, Manchester City 4.
Great performance by City.
Or were Wolves crap?
Both. Man City were excellent.
I don't think Wolves were... Say it quietly. Before the first goal went in, I don't think they were that bad, Wolves. And Menezi had one ruled out. They looked all right. They were in the ascendancy and the goal just... It popped the bubble, didn't it? It burst the bubble.
And I appreciate that it's Man City, but you're the home team. You're one down. Don't just give up.
Yeah.
And they gave up. Yeah. They had no spirit in them. There was no fight about them. Strand Larsen looked all right. Actually, I thought if you've got Strand Larsen, I wouldn't panic. It was Man City, you know, moving on.
Nikolai says in the chat, Wolves were right before they lost the plot. That is it.
But you can't.
Absolutely right.
But that's the problem. To me, that's a big problem. And that puts me off investing in them because it's your first opening home game of the season. You're one down and you give up. Now, that is what we tell Max and his boys. If you go one down, heads up, keep going, keep fighting. I could tell my under-12-year-old that.
What are we saying about Reinders then? What are we saying about this guy? Because I thought he was electric, to be honest with you. But what I will also say is, how sure can we be that he, A, starts the next game, I think we're reasonably sure about that based on the performance we've seen, but B, plays in that position again? Because the way that Pep set up that team was exactly as we discussed at the top of the show, right? Eight Nori tucked in, the right back inverted, that created an extra body in midfield. They overloaded in midfield and that allowed Reinders to go and be almost like a pseudo 10, more of an 8 really, but certainly wasn't a 6, a kind of 8/10 supporting Haaland. And every time they went forward, whether it was Doku on this side or Oscar Bob on the other side, who also had a good game,
Oscar Bob, really good, Oscar
very
Bob.
Very good. And by the way, I don't see if Savinho goes to you lot, and he, obviously Pep don't like him either, what other options have they got on the right? Like Oscar Bob, I think he's pretty locked on the right. Potentially. So, Grealish is gone as well. So Doku, there's other players that can play left. But I don't think, yeah, Oscar Bob pretty locked, no? But Reinders, I want to talk about him anyway.
So one, so here's a little insight into my life with Az. On Thursday after the Q&A, we finished the Q&A and I said something to me about, oh, I think it's too much of a risk for you to have 8 Norrie and Reinders. And I was like, I want them both, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, got in my head. So then on Friday afternoon, I'm sat in the pub with my scout boys doing a bit of work. You were there. Mm. And Pep's doing his news press conference and he says, oh, Rodri's travelled. And I'm like, oh my God, where's Reinders going to play?
Yeah.
And it's annoyed me and it's in my head. And then I'm panicking and then I'm thinking about it. And then I get to Fest and I'm still thinking about it. And in the end, I decided I would get rid of him and I would get Dewsbury Horn instead, which still might be fine. He doesn't play until Monday night.
Yeah.
However, it was incredibly frustrating because I'm watching Reinders and he was brilliant, like brilliant in this game. I thought he was actually brilliant. And I was watching him thinking,
as debuts go, I hadn't seen that too many better.
No,
you know what I mean?
I totally agree. It's not
already
often
got that understanding. He was picking up pockets. Now, listen, Wolves were quite obliging.
But it's
still
not often you watch a player join a big club like that.
Yeah. He ain't a 5.5
in
FPL, is he?
He's the
no
wrong
chance.
If he plays like that more often, he's the wrong price and he's a bargain. And he's Palmer, effectively.
So here's the question then. The million-dollar question is,
am I getting him?
Are you getting him? Because
no.
You've got 0.5 in the bank. I haven't. So if I wanted Reinders this week and I wanted to do, say, Dewsbury Hall to Reinders, I've got to find half a million and I've got to take a hit.
So I'm not getting him, but I...
Why?
Because he's got Spurs next.
So the fixtures.
So I look at the fixtures for Dewsbury Hall and for Reinders and I think,
we've got to see Dewsbury Hall.
We've got to see Dewsbury Hall and I think Reinders is going to go up tonight. I'm not going to sell Dewsbury Hall before I've even seen him because I prefer his fixture.
Spurs at home for Man City and then Brighton, then Manchester United in the derby, then Arsenal away.
And I don't see in those Burnley fixtures, up to Burnley, I'm not sure that us four are going to be quite as obliging as Wolves were.
No, he was very good, though.
But he was very good. But we've seen Spurs against PSG for 85 minutes. They can be solid defensively when they want to.
Yeah.
Brighton, we saw right up until the death, can be solid defensively. Manchester United, it's a derby. Anything can happen. Arsenal, they're going to be in the title race. So
do you think, because I noticed, and we'll get to your game in a minute, but he didn't start Paulina this week, did he?
No.
Do you think that a lot of that is to do with the fact that he's got to reel out, he knows he's going to be up against a very strong midfield three against Man City next week. And I wonder whether he's saving Paulina for that. We all know what Paulina is, right? He's brilliant, but he's injury prone. You can't flog him.
Let's talk about Spurs next, because I think what we're seeing from Spurs is two distinct teams that will play in two distinct sets of matches this season. And I think what we'll see against Manchester City will be much more reflective of the PSG game in midweek last week.
All right. Well, let's do that in a minute. Let's finish on City first. Because, again,
so, no, I'm not getting him this week.
Not getting him this week.
Basically,
I don't think I am either.
I don't want to make a move. He's going to go up in price.
If you've got him, though, if you started the season with
him.
Keep him.
Keep,
man.
For God's sake, yes.
You've got, you know, probably what could end up being the bargain of the season. He could be the one we're all looking for, right? But
even if he was 5.6 or 5.7 or even 6, he'd still be a bargain.
Yeah. I mean, even if he gets to 6, I mean, I'll still get him.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just that you guys that have gone on him early doors game week 1-5-5, congrats. It's brilliant. And you got the points this week.
Yeah.
Sensational stuff.
Yeah.
Sensational. Haaland, though, at the double.
The thing is, I was driving home from Spurs when this game kicked off and had my mum and Max in the car with me. and Haaland scored, and I was like, ugh, and Max was moaning. And my mum was like, I mean, it's Haaland, what did you expect? And I was like, nothing less. Nothing less than this. In fact, if we get away with him scoring just one, I'll be pleased.
Spoken like a true non-FPL player, your mother there.
Oh, no, yes.
Where
yes,
we're all sitting there going, oh, is he worth the money? Is he worth this? And your mum's just like, it's Haaland, what did you think was going
to
happen?
And I said to her, I said, well, it's not that, mum. It's like, you can't afford Salah and Haaland at the same time. And she was like, oh, I understand. That's a bit of a dilemma. It was quite interesting talking to my mum about FPL because she's really got no idea. And she was just like, oh, yeah, okay. But it was, you know, I'm not expecting Haaland to never score goals. I'm just hoping he doesn't. He scores less than Salah, basically, is what's happening here. He was great. He deserved his brace.
One tap in, one beautiful finish. It was, it was, again, he was just like every bit the £40 million player. So if you
wasn't really involved until the goal, though.
No, but I think a lot of that was down to Wolves. I mean, the standout for me was Reinders, right? I mean, goal and assist. And actually, towards the end of the game, Marmoush comes on. I don't know if you've seen the highlights, but Marmoush comes on. He gets in the way of one.
Yeah, he
right?
does, yeah.
Marmoush gets in the way of Reinders being in on goal for potentially a second goal. It could have been even worse for us non-Reinders owners, right?
What I think we're going to see at Man City is a lot of rotation, a lot of substitutions. Like, Cherki came on, he scored. He actually looked good once
he
came on.
Well, though, didn't
he was bloody good. Hell. He looked good when he came on.
City are cooking, you know.
Oh, low-key.
City are cooking. Yeah. It's just that Pep has just gone about this summer, and they've spent some money, don't get me wrong, but they've also got rid of a bit of dross. You know, Grealish has gone out and a few others, and they're just looking like a proper team, and Rodri will be back, and they'll only get better. Gone and got Ait Nouri in a position where they, you know, they needed to strengthen. They've gone and got Reinders in a position they needed to strengthen. Yeah, man, they look good. They look good. Now, will the Club World Cup and participating in that tournament come back to haunt them a little bit later on in the season? Who knows? Maybe. But at the moment, they look very, very good. And I, for one, without any City in my team, feel like I've got it wrong. However, I was prepared to be punished in this game against Wolves because the fixtures after mean I can have a bit more of a look. But if you went early, if you went Haaland, I know George captained Haaland this week at the expense of not having Mo. Fair dues. Absolutely fair dues. You've done, you know, certainly for game week one, the right thing. Let's talk about Spurs then. Spurs 3, Burnley 0. You're going to win the league. Richarlison's getting the Ballon d'Or.
Why have you got to go? Why have you got to do this? What? Have I come home and said Richarlison's going to win the Ballon d'Or?
No, I did.
Have I said we're going to win the league?
That's a Puskás, that, isn't it? That's a Puskás, that goal.
We've already won one of them with Sonny and that actually Lamella.
I know.
We've won two of them.
Spurs, you might as well call it the Spurs Award.
We might as well.
Right. The game. Go on. You were there.
I was there. Was great. I think what we've seen, and I hinted at this before when we talk about Man City, we obviously played two games in quite quick succession with the Super Cup on Wednesday and then this one on Saturday afternoon. And what we saw is a very different style of football. So obviously, against PSG, played a back five. So we had the three centre-backs with Danso doing a fantastic job, actually, and the three of them commanding that defensive security with Spence and Porro. And then we saw the solidity in the midfield with Papsar, Bentancur and Paulinho. So the three of them, really big, aggressive, hard-working, defensively more astute.
Yeah.
Roll forward 3 days. We get to the weekend. The team sheet comes out. It's more standard Spurs. So we get the back four, as you would expect, with Spence, who, by the way, is phenomenal.
Like him. Yeah, great.
And at 4.5, if you want to go for a more attacking option, he doesn't look terrible because he's playing the same as Porro, but on the other side.
Will he be the one and not your doggy then?
Your doggy's out. So,
indefinitely? Or he'll be back soon,
surely? Not for a few weeks, I think. So you've got a bit of time.
Okay, fair enough.
And then in the middle, he played the youngsters this week. And I think he did that because he looks at the game and he says, right, last week, PSG, very attacking, very strong. They're going to come at us. They're going to play on the front foot. Burnley, they're not going to play the same style of football. We can afford to be more free-flowing in the middle. We can afford to play the kids, let them buzz around and get in the way and be annoying. So it's Bergvall. It's Archie Gray. And tactically, I love what Thomas Frank is doing at the minute because it's just right and he's getting it right every time. Really attacking right from the get-go. Every ball, move it forward, pass around the team, get it in the box, get it back in the
box. Feels good having a manager that's a tactician, right? Rather than old,
it's really nice.
Who we are, mate.
It's really nice. And I think, you know, but what I liked about it, it wasn't just get the ball in attack and try and score a goal. It's
well,
get
it was.
The ball,
it was very direct.
It was direct, but it wasn't just get the ball in the box and try and score a goal. It was get to the wings, get the crosses in, get the crosses in. Yeah. Get, but, and they were looking. That's what I liked, is we were last season we just blindly played balls into spaces. This season there was a genuine, like, have a look, right, play the ball. Right. It was really nice.
FPL perspective, though, Johnson coming clutch again, a popular one from last season. Richarlison again, with the two goals. But tell me how you feel about Mr. Kudos, because he looked particularly sharp against PSG. And again, looked great in this game. Now, listen, one of the assists is for the Richarlison worldie. But the other assist, I thought he got his head up, as you rightly say, picked out Richarlison. Richarlison, nice finish. He's looking pretty good value for 6'5", no?
Yes, he is, because there were two more opportunities where he did the same thing, cut the ball back, sent it into the box. Yeah. One of them, there was nobody in the box, and the other one went to Johnson, who hit it off a Burnley player.
Okay.
Feasibly have had another couple of assists in there. He also had a moment later on in the game where he's in the perfect place, and Spence, rather than cutting it back to him, and it's almost a guaranteed goal if he cuts it back to Kudus, because he's almost on the penalty spot, and Dubravka's at front post. Spence has a shot and it's wasteful, and Kudus looks at him and he's sort of like, mate.
Yeah.
And Spence does apologise and they move on.
That'll come, though. That will come. That'll come.
But
yeah,
what I love is that the understanding with Richarlison is there. And there was a really nice comment from Kudus after the game. They asked about it. And he was like, we've been training together. And they seem to have formed a nice little bond. I'm low-key here for it. Now, I hear what you were saying, because when I came home, you said, yeah, but the West Ham fans always love that about him. The fact that he was buzzy and energetic and he held the ball up and he played it well and he did all that stuff. Yeah. And then he suddenly stopped doing it.
Yeah.
Now, I see that and I hear that.
Mm.
But I do think we are in a different mode at the moment and we are in a different position and there is a different feeling.
I don't disagree. The mode and the feeling is good right now, but it won't. It's not going to be like that indefinitely. You will have a hard time at some stage in the season. All teams do. I want to see whether Kudus is the sort of player that will step up when the going gets tough. I don't think he is.
Let's see.
When the going's good, and it is right now, he's good. He's so good. Get on it.
And right now in FPL, I think he's fantastic value at 6.5. Yeah. You can pay the extra and go for Brennan. But if I'm honest, and Yelena was asking me about it today, Brennan was very quiet in this one. The ball didn't often end up with him. Spence had it a lot on that side, but he didn't often overlap well with Johnson. So Johnson was quite quiet until later on in the game, when Johnson then came into his own a bit more and was kind of finding himself at the back post again, like we've seen in previous seasons. So I think generally speaking, the left-hand side is better, the Porro and Kudus side. The right-hand side is better. But on the left, you know, Brennan, he gets a goal, so I don't want to say he's not an option.
Wasn't a sort of typical Brennan goal, actually. It wasn't a sort of steaming in at the back post, was it? It was a kind of quite well-taken finish, I thought, by Brennan.
It was a well-taken finish. Yeah. And I think, actually, he's going to have to get a bit better at doing that, because he's not going to be steaming in at the back and picking up aimless crosses anymore. I was really pleased with us. And I think defensively, we were really good defensively.
Yeah. Burnley, a team to target, because a few of us have got Dubravka, a few of us have got Steve at the back. Suddenly, we want to play these two guys. Maybe, because they've got Sunderland at home next week, but Sunderland have just gone and smashed West Ham. So it's
play both?
Well, it seems a risk to do that now, doesn't it?
It
seems a risk to do that, I have to say. I mean, of the two, I'd probably go for Steve, but only because I've got half decent other keeper in Mr. Sells, who's also got a difficult fixture next week. So, difficult. Not sure. Don't know if they're a team to target yet, but certainly on the back of that.
There wasn't a lot in them.
Yeah, maybe. It's such a big step up, isn't it? It's such a big step up. It really is. Where else do you want to go? Let's go to United 0 Arsenal 1, the game that we've not long finished watching with Az and Yells. They come around to watch it with us. Nicely taken goal from Calafiori from a Rice corner.
Another 59 minutes up in this one.
Yeah, a bit of a flap from Bayindir, wasn't it, for the goal. So didn't cover himself in glory there in Anana's absence. Another 59th minute sub, you're absolutely right. General thoughts on the game? I didn't think it was a humdinger of a game, but maybe it's game week one, you shouldn't really expect it. I thought for the most part, and, you know, don't come at me, Arsenal fans, but I thought United were the better team for quite a lot of the game. I think they racked up more XG than Arsenal in this game. I thought they had more possession, did better stuff with it, probably created better chances. But listen, Arsenal do what Arsenal do. They scored a goal, a little bit fortuitous with the goalkeeper flapping, and then they're just elite defensively. Every time, you know, I actually thought Mount played all right when he was on.
Yeah.
There was a couple of through balls, one in particular to, it was either Cunha and Bremo. Cunha, I think. But I noticed, you know, Cunha and Bremo getting playing on the shoulder of the last defender and getting in behind. And against other teams, they will score goals, these two. Right, yeah. Let's not beat around the bush. Cunha was very good today. Right, very good. And then Bremo's always, I love him as a player. I think he's great. But they're coming up against some pretty elite, like Saliba and Gabriel, right? Pretty quick.
They're really good.
It's pretty quick, right? So it's playing on the shoulder of the last defender when it's them two is very difficult. There will be weeks when United rack up a few goals, I think, by playing like that.
Yep.
With that kind of off the shoulder of the last defender. I think, and I thought this throughout the summer, it's why I've got Dorgu, it's why I've got Bruno Fernandes. I think United look better today than in a number of matches that I saw them last season. I think the attitude's better, and I do think they're improving. I just think they come up against a better team today in Arsenal. A good, very good defensive unit, as we know. Right?
I don't think there's anything wrong with
it. I think there's a lot of positive from United to take from this, is what I'm saying. A lot of positives.
100%. If I had a United player, I wouldn't be panicking about them. I'll tell you what, it has made me... So I spent a lot of time umming and ahhing, as you well know, about my defence and about, do I just get an... I got to a point on Friday where I went, do I just get an Arsenal defender and be done with it? Because you know what you're going to get with an Arsenal defender.
One of the best defence in the league. Why would we not?
You know what you're going to get with them. And I'm looking at next week's fixture and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I've got no Arsenal.
Yeah.
They've got Leeds. We haven't seen Leeds yet. They might surprise us. But they've got Leeds. And it's their first home game of the season. And they've gone and they've been secure and solid against Manchester United, who were the better team. Gyökeres, I'm still on the fence about.
Quiet today. Yeah.
There's always that risk with Havertz. I wondered if it might be the other way around. I wondered if Havertz might start and Gyökeres might have started next week, but he didn't. Gyökeres gets the start, which kind of makes sense. You spend that much money on a forward.
I think he's starting against Leeds.
I think he will now.
It's a perfect opportunity for him.
I didn't think he wouldn't start him against Leeds. I thought he might not start him today.
Oh, I see.
I thought he might. I thought today it might have been Havertz and he might come on for 30 and then get the start at home for the first time against Leeds.
Leeds at home at the Emirates. Get your big man, get the new guy on up front and give him as much possibility, as many minutes as possible to get off the mark, I think.
For sure. Yeah. But I think, you know, going into next
week...
Would
it shock you if they got a penalty next week that Gyökeres takes it?
Give it
to Gyökeres?
No, I wouldn't, no.
I think wouldn't shock me the way that Arsenal give penalties about.
I think the thing for me is that I'm really torn with Arsenal because next week is obviously the perfect fixture. It's great. On paper, it's great.
Well, we haven't seen Leeds yet, but
we haven't. But on paper, it's great, right? Newly promoted side in your first home game of the season. Ideal, you would think. But then after that, it's Liverpool. And so I'm really torn on the Liverpool.
Hey, listen, we'll concede goals. I know Gravenberch will be back by then, right? But
no, but I'm thinking my front line's tough to bring players in and out of because I don't want to give up on Ollie Watkins just yet. Just because he had one bad game doesn't mean I want to sack him off yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then I'm looking at, well, how would I fit an Arsenal player in? Because I don't have the money to go up from a Wirtz to a Saka. So it would be a defensive option. But then I don't really want to get rid of... I mean, maybe I could get rid of Murillo, but that feels a little bit knee-jerky.
And as George says in the chat, Ollie, you know, it's Watkins against Brentford next. Sorry, George, isn't he? But you ain't...
Oh, I just like Brentford a lot at the moment.
You ain't doing Watkins to Gyökeres with Brentford up for Watkins, are you? Despite him being a little bit quiet at the weekend. No. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, good game. I thought a lot of positives for United to take out of it. But listen, you know, the fact that Raya got the three bonus points and did seven saves tells you a lot about the way this game ebbed and flowed. I think, you know, United, they're going to improve this season. If they play like that against most other teams, they're going to win. They're going to win, right? They were good today. Let's do a couple more games.
We probably should do Newcastle and Aston Villa, actually.
Go on, and let's do that.
Because I think there were a lot of managers that were, well, on the fence on what to do about Rodgers until the announcement that he was going to start. And then I think there was a lot of managers that went there at the last minute.
Yeah.
Sort of decided to do that. And there were a hell of a lot of managers, Lee, from FPL Family, who went for Konsa.
Yeah.
Who's now suspended for game week 2.
Will you buy Konsa for 4.3 million when he comes back? I will. We're going to get the Villa starting centre half for 4.3, aren't we? Everyone's going to... If you've got him, you're probably going to sell him now, no? And he'll take a price drop.
Probably. But I don't know. I mean, I maintain what I said right at the beginning of this stream. I think if Newcastle had a number nine, a proper number nine, they would have scored against Villa.
Mm.
I just don't think that Villa are that good in defence. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I don't think they're that solid. Okay. So I do think that teams will score against them. It's why I didn't go for Konsa. I couldn't see clean sheets. And even against Brentford, like, I appreciate that today we've seen how impotent, is that the right word? Maybe.
Yeah, go on.
Brentford are.
Yeah.
Apart from the penalty. And so next week, maybe there is a clean sheet, but obviously Konsa won't be there now. So
yeah,
it's a frustration.
I'm definitely keeping an eye on Konsa because we're at that stage of the season where point one here and point one there either prices you in or out of moves, right? And I'm already looking at Reinders. We've both just said we want him. We both just said we're not going to get him this week. So that's you and I both saying we're going to have to find, well, no, because you've got money in the bank. But for me, I'm going to have to find a point one or a point two to get to Reinders.
Yeah.
So where might that come from? That might come from Juve to Konsa.
Oh, I forgot.
In a couple of weeks. So if I've made a big mistake with Juve, and let's face it, no one's expecting anyone's game week one team to be perfect, least of all me, by the way. If I go Juve to Konsa in a couple of weeks, then I save, there's the point two saving that I could then spend to do Reinders.
Yeah.
So I'm not like, you know, that, and maybe that's a couple of weeks away, but I'm just keeping an eye on Konsa because if he is sold en masse, and I hope he is, because we're still in silly season, right? We all know, if you've played FPL for a few years, we all know the price rises and falls over the first 5 or 6 weeks. It's just stupid. It's just stupid. And you get almost kind of like, not tricked into, but you feel kind of obliged. You've got to move early to get the price drops or the price falls, certainly to avoid the price falls.
Mm.
And as soon as it looks like Konsa's going to drop in price, he's going to drop like a stone because all of his owners are going to go, I do not want to hold on to him to go 4-4. Mm. And then before you know it, he's 4-3. And I'd like to pick him up at 4-3 because I'd like to gain the point too, quite frankly. Mm. Anyway, that's maybe one for a couple of weeks down the line. But listen, I hear you on your Isak narrative from before. Do I think that they'd have done better in this game if he played and they had a focal point? Yes, I do. But I also thought Gordon and Elanga in particular provided a hell of a lot of pace in behind, and they were a bit unlucky not to win this game.
But my kind of issue is that if Gordon and Elanga have... I agree. I thought they were good, and I thought they were unlucky not to win the game. But if they have a Watkins or an Isak or a Ekitike out there, those two get assist points.
I know, I get it. But what I'm trying to say is, they've got Liverpool up next week, and, you know, even without the key man up front, they will still give us a hell of a game up at St James's. And by the way, they are not going to want us.
We've ruined
their summer, right? They are going to want us to go up there and get anything other than an L, right? They are going to want to beat us next week, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And I hope they do, because that means they attack us, and that means we'll find space in behind in the way that we struggled to at points against Bournemouth.
Mm.
But I just think that game, I couldn't call that game already. I'll back us, obviously. I'm a Liverpool fan. I've got to back us, and we've started well in terms of scoring goals, certainly against Bournemouth.
Mm.
But that pace in behind, it will get exploited.
Mm.
It will get exploited, no doubt. If Frimpong goes high, if Kerkez goes high again, I'm not looking forward to going to St James's next week. I'm really not. Anyway, 0-0. Let's move on from that one. Any others you want to discuss?
No, I don't think so. West Ham? We've already slated them enough.
West Ham looked particularly bad, didn't they?
They're the team to target, I think, so far this week. Them and Burnley.
And like I said before, if you missed it earlier in the stream, if you've just arrived on the stream, did this tweet about, you know, was Fulkrug and West Ham really that bad? I've never seen a tweet get as interacted as quickly with that. And really, I was only asking West Ham fans, not the whole football community, like some of my tweets do. And it was like, yeah, crap, horrible, crap. And like, at this point of the season, often I get a good, obviously I like stats and I like all that sort of stuff. I like watching the football, like the eye test, obviously. But I also like to look at fan sentiment on YouTube and on social media. I like to hear what the fans are saying.
Yeah.
And right now, if you listen to Liverpool fans, what are we saying? We're all out of attack. The goals look great, but we're crap at the back. Gravenberch's coming back, should improve. You ask the Spurs fans. Very optimistic about the new season. They like the fact Thomas Frank's come along. Kudos is looking good. The system looks good. He's very good. You look at the Arsenal fans. Ooh, we're not sure about how the summer went. Jokeres needs to perform. There's all this sentiment. What's the West Ham sentiment? Same as Brentford. We're crap and we might go down. And you feel it. And I feel that from the West Ham faithful at the minute. They're not happy bunnies in there at the minute.
Defensive. The goalkeeper was woeful. woeful.
Yeah, man.
Defence was poor. Bowen can't do it all by himself. And that's really where we are.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
But that should not detract from what Sunderland did in this game. Yeah,
they were very good.
Because they were very good.
The header from Ballard is unreal, by the way.
He gets a haul, Ballard.
Yeah, I noticed on the official FPL tweeted that, you know, three managers triple captained him. You see that?
Yeah.
Like 51 or 52.
Because he got a haul. Did he get 17 or something ridiculous?
Oh, I don't know.
Because he got like DEFCON as well, didn't he? He was great. They were great. Welcome back to the Premier League, Sunderland. Yeah. Enjoy it.
There it is. There it is. Let's get on to our teams and our score, Sam. I'll go first because it was a difficult week for me, I have to say.
You're not done yet, though. We should say that.
Yeah, I've got Dewsbury Hall to play tomorrow. So, you know, in a game week one where the fifth midfielder, the cheap midfielder, is a key talking point, right? Because a lot of us are going to be talking about Reinders. A lot are going to be talking about Anderson, who got the assist as well, right? And I don't know if Anderson got some DEFCON. I don't think he did. But again, he got points. So my fifth midfielder, Dewsbury Hall, I'd like him to at least get something out of that game tomorrow so that I can at least try and keep up with somebody else.
He's got to get at least 10 and match Reinders.
At least 10, but, you know, anyway. The one thing I will say, and I think I said it on the FPL show last week with Kelly, was that one of my concerns having Dewsbury Hall and nothing in the bank is that if I'm wrong about Reinders and Anderson, which clearly I was, especially Reinders this week, then going from Dewsbury Hall to one of those two requires a hit.
Yeah.
That's a problem. Now, Anderson I'm less concerned about, but getting a Reinders is a bit of a problem. Anyway, the rest of the team, for the podcasters, I've got Sells and Williams at the back. So my double clean sheet got wiped out by the Thiago penalty in the second half. So
annoyed.
That was annoying. I would have really liked to have had clean sheets from both Sells and Williams, but I know many of you will have been in the same position. Porro comes in with the six. Good. You know, we're looking for more, Pedro, but I can't complain with the six. I've got Juf coming in with the one. Rubbish. Salah captain with the 16, which, again, a bit jammy because he only scored in the last minute. Gakpo with 7, Palmer with 3, Bruno Fernandes with 2, might go to 4 if he gets that extra DEFCON, who knows. Watkins and Xhao Pedro up front with 2 and 2. And then my bench, thank God I didn't bench boost, because Dubravka 2, Dorgu 2, who hit the post today, by the way. Estev 1, and then Mark Giroud with 0. So 42 points.
Estev.
Is it Estev?
It's not Estev.
Oh, okay, whatever. Estev, then Mark Giroud with 0. So 42 points. Ranked for what it's worth, 6.7 million. Not at all the sort of way that I would have liked to have started the season at all. The double Forest clean sheet would have helped. Bruno getting something in that game today would have helped as well. But no panic, right? No panic, because I think I look at my team for next week, which is here, and it looks okay. It looks okay. I don't now like the look of Dubravka and Estev.
Estev.
I now don't like the look of Dubravka and Estev.
The double up or either.
Well, I certainly don't like the double up.
Yeah.
Against the Sunderland team that have just smashed West Ham 3-0. I mean, it'll be Burnley's first home game. They'll be playing a fellow
promoted
team. So maybe they get a bit of confidence from that. I don't know. But I don't love it. Put it that way. Sells might come back in for Palace away. But again, I don't much like that fixture either. So don't know about that yet. I'll play Nico and I'll play Porro against Manchester City. But my front seven doesn't look too bad. You know, Salah and Gakpo away at Newcastle. Okay. Obviously, Mo's always going to play. Palmer away at West Ham and then João Pedro away at West Ham. Given that what we've just seen at West Ham and what we've just said about Chelsea, I'll keep them both.
Yes.
Bruno at Fulham. Cool. I've got to keep the faith with Bruno a little bit, I think. And then Dewsbury Hall at home to Brighton is okay. And then Watkins at Brentford, which we've already said is okay. So I'm not panicking. I think when I started last season, if you remember, if you cast your mind back to where we were this time last year, I said for the first 5 or 6 weeks, I'm going to go really aggressive.
I remember.
Didn't I? Do you remember? I was like, I'm going to go really aggressive. I'm going to make transfers. I'm going to chase price rises. Well, how did that work out for me for the first five weeks?
Was it?
Crap. Mm. So this year, I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to try and be a bit more patient. I'm going to try and bank a couple of transfers. There's nothing in that front seven that makes me go, oh, that looks horrible. I don't like my defence for next week. I don't like it very much. But Dorgu could come in for Fulham away. Even Juf Chelsea at home. It's not awful, right? It's not awful. I've got this currently the bus captains on Salah. I don't think it will be. I might have a look at Watkins. Yeah, maybe Palmer, Fernandes as well. But, you know, Mo's just inevitable, isn't he? But let's see. I'll make that decision a bit nearer the time. But the team is kind of looks okay. It kind of looks okay. I don't want to go mad. Obviously, I'd like more Arsenal in there. Obviously, I want to move to Man City, but it's going to take 2 or 3 weeks for things to settle down, for me to learn DEFCON a bit more. So I just want to bide my time and just accept that it was a bit of a poor start. Not a terrible start, right? But it's a poor start. Dewsbury Hall might dig me out tomorrow and we'll see how we go. You, on the other hand, 53 points. So not bad, not bad. And I think the main difference between us, well, there's a couple. It's Kudus and it's Ain't Nouri, right? Both of them coming in clutch for you. Talk me through your team.
Do you know, I had a really good day on Friday and Saturday. The players that I had play, obviously, my two, Salah did well, Kudus and Van de Ven doing bits for me. That was
you're
really
nice.
You're
a Thiago penalty away from a brilliant back four there with Ain't Nouri, Van de Ven, Murillo and Sells.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Forest clean sheet six, and I know the ownership is high, etc., but...
No, but the ownership is high for one.
For one of them, yeah, yeah.
So
totally.
That's why it's really overly frustrating, because...
Yeah, absolutely.
I had two, and so and it's always a risk, and it's why I hate the defensive double up. I don't like doing it. But I didn't fancy Sanchez because of the Colwell. And then when I saw the team sheet today and he didn't have Tosin either, I was like, oh my God, I feel like I've dodged a bullet. And then when they scored that free kick, I was like, oh, I feel like I've dodged a bullet here, massive. Because at that point, Brentford just looked in the mud, like nothing was coming from them.
Yes.
So for them to concede a penalty is just infuriating. I was sort of hoping we might get a sales penalty save and a massive haul across for both of them. But it wasn't to be, and it is annoying, because actually today I had players that I thought were going to do really well. So obviously I lost that clean sheet with that penalty save twice.
Mm.
Palmer did nothing and wasn't really in the game.
Mateta won, a bit disappointing.
Mateta, I was really disappointed in.
He looked okay though. I'm not panicking at all. No.
And he was involved, hence the booking. But, you know, it is a little bit frustrating. I benched Ronaldo. Maybe I should have thought twice about that, but I didn't want to play an extra defender, to be honest.
Yeah, who from that front seven would you have... I mean, maybe Dewsbury Holt, right?
Yeah. And so maybe Dewsbury Hall could have been...
And you had DeCalper in the bench above him anyway.
And I had DeCalper above him anyway, because I didn't really trust Sunderland, even against West Ham. I thought Bowen and Falkrug, you know, we've been talking about them. I didn't think West Ham were going to be as bad as they were. So yeah, it's been okay. I've obviously got Dewsbury Hall to go. I feel like it's a reasonably solid start. Like, it's not terrible. It's not brilliant. It's just okay. And I'm all right with just okay to start the season.
Yeah,
I'm not
53's okay.
I'm not looking at my team and thinking, oh God, this is awful. Everything's wrong and I need to rip it up.
Well, this is you for next week.
This is me for next week.
Just for the podcasters, it's you have switched keepers. So you're planning on Dubravka at home to Sunderland. Ain't Nouri, Murillo and Reinildo come in. And then Salavert, Palmer, Kudos, Dewsbury Hall, Watkins and Mateta. So benching Van de Ven, De Kuyper and then Mark Guiu with Sells on the bench as well.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about the Van de Ven thing, to be honest.
Mm.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. I feel like...
I think it's the right choice.
I think it's the right choice.
Yeah.
I don't want to play both Sells and Murillo against Mateta. That doesn't feel right.
Yeah, okay.
So, hence going for Dubravka. I also don't really know how to call the Sunderland and Burnley thing, because I was impressed by Sunderland and really not impressed by Burnley. I sort of hope that plays out 0-0. That'd be perfect.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm hoping I might get a clean sheet out of one of them at least in that one. Ain't Nouri I'm playing because I feel like...
You have to.
I feel like if you buy a 6 million defender, you have to play them.
Yeah.
And not only that, I think it's a straight choice between him and Van de Ven. You have to back the home team. And at the end of the day, Ain't Nouri has more attacking threat than Van de Ven does.
Yeah.
So I'm going there. Although Van de Ven does perform very well.
It'd be interesting to see... Everton tomorrow night, and obviously we'll be watching Dewsbury Hall pretty closely. You know, if they look bad, I mean, De Kuyper might come in, you might think, well, I might want to play him. He looked all right, didn't he?
Yeah, and I have no issue with playing four at the back, actually, and De Kuyper could easily be the one that comes on for Dewsbury Hall if I don't like what I see there. Midfield is exactly the same, playing all five of them, and I'm going to continue to play Watkins and Mateta up top. Obviously, the Guiu thing is a bit frustrating because actually, Sunderland played really well, and particularly in attack, and I wonder how quickly he'll get minutes now.
Suddenly got to get into the team
he's
now,
got,
hasn't he? Yeah.
He's got to fight for it now if he wants to play, whereas I think before we all assumed, because of the clause in his contract, that he would get that relatively quickly.
Yeah, I think he still will.
I think he still will. I'm not unhappy with my team. There's a couple of tweaks I'd like to make. But
currently bus team captained on Palmer.
Yeah, which I hate because it's the Friday night game. And
you hate a captain on a Friday.
I hate a Friday night captain. So I'm not happy about that. I'm probably going to just go back to Salah. I don't have any Arsenal. They're the obvious captaincy picks for this week.
Yeah.
Watkins is definitely an option against Brentford.
You say Arsenal are the obvious ones. I think I agree, but again, we haven't watched Leeds. This video will, you know, it'll change once we see Everton versus Leeds on Monday night.
I think if you've got Saka, he's the obvious paper captain this week.
Well, I mean, we haven't seen Leeds, but we have seen Brentford, and we saw that they were crap. So what about Watkins? West Ham, and they were crap. So what about Palmer? Right now, I'm looking at it going, well, yeah, they're the obvious two. And of course, Mo's in the conversation. Of course he is, because it's Mo.
Yeah, and the other thing I like about Mo is that it's the Monday night game. And I do like to leave my captain till as late as possible. So the fact that you're the Monday night game also makes me want to sway back to Under the Lights. Just don't like the idea of captaining. If Palmer performs like he did today, which I don't think he will, because it's West Ham, but that's West Ham's first home game of the season. Surely.
Today's put me off Palmer massive, I'll be honest. He looks so lethargic.
So my busting captain is on Palmer, but I can see me swaying back to Salah for game week two, to be honest, because I wasn't impressed by Chelsea.
Okay. All right, so that's how our teams are shaping up. No, I don't think for either of us it was a stellar start. Certainly not for me.
It might be if Drewsby Hall goes off.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm learning, right? This is what the first few weeks are about. They're not really necessarily about chasing rank. That'll come in about game week 8 or 9 for me usually. This first few weeks is just about learning. It's about who's coming to the fore. It's about learning DEFCON from
find
my perspective.
Right,
find the right players. Find the bargains. And get on them and get rid of the dross. You know, if you've made a mistake, you know, no one's got a game week one perfect team, right? So if you've made a mistake, like I think I've made a mistake with Juve, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's fix it. And let's find out who the 4.5, or if Konsa is 4.3, who the 4.3 is to go to. But just learn the game, learn the season. A quick shout out to all of our new patrons. Again, we've had absolutely loads of new patrons at the free and the pay tiers over the last couple of weeks. So thank you to everybody that's joined us and supporting us over there. As we mentioned earlier in the podcast, as we mentioned earlier in the show, we now have a free tier over on FPL Family Patreon. So yes, we'd love for you to come and support us at 3, 5, 10 or the £20 a month tier. We'd love for you to come and do that. But if you just want to get a taste of it, if you want to find out what the Ohana podcast is all about, for example, you want to go in there and just have a look and a feel and a play around, then just set up a Patreon account. You can sign up on the website as you would do with any other website, and just hit the follow button. Just follow FPL Family. And then every week you'll get access to the Ohana podcast. We now don't put that behind the paywall. That's free for everyone to listen to. And if you like it, maybe after a couple of weeks, you think, okay, well, maybe I'll start supporting the channel and maybe I'll get into the Slack with, you know, with George and with Andrew and with Louise and all the others that are in there having a regular old chat about FPL. Maybe I want to go for the Zoom tier. Maybe I want to take part in the Manager of the Month competitions and you maybe get a bit of a feel for it. But have a look. patreon.com/FPL family. Links are in the description below. And yes, thank you to everybody that's joined us over there over the last couple of weeks, because we've had absolutely loads of new ones. So thank you very much for all your support. Sam, just before we go, a few photos that you put together for an event that you went to up in Liverpool last week at the Premier League's kickoff event. Tell us all about that. It was really good fun, right?
Yeah, I got the white ribbons out ready. Told them, get the white ribbons out ready for May next
for
year when we get the trophy down.
Nice to see
London.
The red ones on there, though.
Yeah, the red ones were on there. Yeah, the Premier League kindly invited me for the second year now to go to their kickoff event, and I run an FPL surgery for all the celebrities and the influencers and the ex-pros and the pros and stuff that come to the game. It's such a lovely event. It really is. And I always feel it's a real massive privilege. Last year it was in London. This year it was in Liverpool. So we went up there and got to hang out with some pretty cool celebrities. So I think I put a picture up there of Micah Richards and Gary Lineker. There's also more.
Yeah, you got a bit of inside knowledge on the old This Is Football podcast, didn't you? Yeah,
Rest
yeah.
Is Football, yeah.
Oh, Rest Is Football, yeah, yeah.
And then Ian Rush, who was such a...
Rushy, legend. Right,
and also, legend. His data knowledge. I was like, Ian, you low-key would win FPL.
Yeah, get on the game,
so
mate.
Good at the data. And Wes Morgan, who... Honestly, that man, he is such a nice guy.
He loves a bit of FPL, does he? Does Lineker like it or no?
Not really. But Wes, Lineker has no idea really what's going on with FPL. But Wes is brilliant because he walked in the room, saw me, came straight over and was like, Sam, can you help me again this year? I was like, yeah, great. Yeah.
Of the two of them, if you were going to get, like, I would not get Gary Lineker. If I was promoting an FPL website, I wouldn't get Lineker to do it. Micah Richards, I'd do.
Oh, well, Micah loves it.
Yeah, he would get Lineker to do it.
But the Rest Is Football is the biggest football podcast in the world. So, yeah, you know, you can understand it. But yeah, Wes Morgan came back to me about 4 or 5 times during the course of the afternoon. We had a lovely chat. But yeah, thank you to the Premier League for letting me do these, because they are honestly great fun. And yeah, I don't take for granted how lucky I am to be able to do this stuff. And
speaking to some fairly big cheeses at Liverpool, weren't you?
Some big cheeses. Fairly big people.
Any insider knowledge on Isak for us?
Not that I want to share here, no.
Oh, all right.
No, not really.
You haven't shared it with me either.
No one shared it with anybody. I don't think I have any insider knowledge, to be honest, but it was really nice. And like, I did some social media stuff with Liverpool. You might see that on their social channel at some point. So yeah, it was a really lovely experience and a great pleasure. And for those of you that watched the pod afterwards, you'll know that I stayed in the Titanic where this event took place.
Nice hotel, wasn't it? Yeah.
Delightful hotel.
Very nice.
Except when the Wi-Fi broke when I was trying to record the official pod, so I had to record it from my car. So if you want to laugh... Yes. It's out of date now, of course, but if you want to laugh, you can see the inside of my car on the official Premier League YouTube channel if you go and watch last week's pod.
The Wi-Fi was one downside of that hotel. The other downside was that as we walked into the room and opened the curtains, there was the Hill Dickinson Stadium in all its glory.
Yes, the Hill Dickinson Stadium was right outside our window. Nice view of that. Looks a bit like a spaceship. And they were still working on it, actually. Oh,
I've just noticed. Look at that. You didn't update the ranks on this graphic. I'm back at number 1 in the world. Let's go!
Go back to the intro screen. Go to the intro screen.
That's the outro screen. Yeah, but didn't update the ranks.
Go to the intro screen, because it's the same.
No, I don't want to.
Go on, go to the intro screen.
Where is it? This one, I think.
There you are.
Oh, that looks a lot worse. I prefer the one, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Okay. So it was a very, very busy week last week for me.
It was. Yes, very busy week. It was.
Culminating, obviously, in going to Spurs on Saturday and then hosting Az and Jelena today. Bit of a cheeky Nando's and a football watch with them too. It was always fun.
Speaking of busy, Sam, this has been a busy stream. There's 833 people in.
Thanks, guys. Nearly
1,000 in of you. So thank you very much for joining us tonight on FPL Family, folks. Been a while since we've had numbers like that. So FPL must well and truly be
back.
It must be well and truly back. So well done to anybody that got a nice score in game week one. If you've got a Kean and Dewsbury Hall, if you've got a Joe Roden, I'm trying to think of any other FPL relevant.
And Die.
And you've got a Dillman and Die. If you've
Jack
got a
Grealish.
Beto or a Jack, if you've got a Jack Grealish, good luck.
Barry.
Barry or Beto. Any Everton or Leeds assets in your FPL team for tomorrow, then good luck. Sam, anything of much importance coming up this week that you can tell the folks that's coming up on our schedule?
No, we're actually taking a little bit of a break this week.
We are.
We will, however, because we are that committed, we will be back on Sunday for a live stream. From our holidays. Ohana will be coming from Europe this week.
Yeah,
we'll probably be sitting on a balcony while the kids are asleep recording an Ohana podcast. So that will be coming as normal. Don't panic. We aren't going to leave you all in the lurch. It will still arrive. And I will still be doing the official podcast. Let's hope the hotel Wi-Fi is better in Spain than it is in Liverpool, because I do need that, because I won't have a car to go and hide in this one. So a little bit of a quieter week for us this week, but the week after really, really ramps back up again. So yes. We're going to enjoy a little bit of downtime this week, and I'm not going to stress too much. I'm not going to make any transfers. I'm going to hold my nerve.
All right.
Oh, and don't forget though, Crystal Palace do play again on Thursday night.
Do they? Oh, yeah, the European
got
games.
Qualifying.
Ooh, yeah, look out
so
for that.
I am going to be keeping close eye just to make sure Mateta makes it through that one. And actually, I really hope that Eze doesn't play, because I want him in North London by Thursday.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we'll be back same time next Sunday, guys, 9 p.m, hopefully with a little bit more of a Spanish tan going on. We'll see.
We'll fake it, if not, Lee.
If not, it'll be the Saint-Tropez. Yeah, absolutely. It'll be down the tanning booths and stuff like that. But loads of you in tonight. So thank you for joining the live stream. Like, subscribe, all that sort of good stuff. If it's your first time here on the FPL Family live stream, hope you've enjoyed it. This is going to be your regular now. This is regular. Come back next week. Come back. Come and join us in the family. 9 p.m. every Sunday. Good week or bad week, it doesn't matter. You bring your scores. We have a laugh about it. We joke about it. We celebrate it. We commiserate it. I get stressed. You tend to be quite calm. Sam's the calm one, I'm the stressed one.
I talk about Mickey van der Ven.
And we just talk about FPL in a really, really fun way. So yeah, hit subscribe. We'll be back this time next week, Sunday 9 p.m. Until then, good luck tomorrow, guys. See you later.
Bye, guys.